Can you start? Yeah. Good morning. It's March 23rd. It's about 11:02, and this is the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting. Do we have any guests? No guests. We need to have a motion for
So moved.
participation of electronic means. Thank you, Dave.
Second.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Are there any modifications to the agenda? Good. No public comment, I suppose.
We did not receive any.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the minute meetings from our last meeting of January 19th, 2023?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Cool. Kevin, sorry you're sick and glad you're on with us. You want to start with number seven?
Absolutely, but I think what we'll do is transfer this over. I mean, let's see, number seven is the consent.
Right.
Are there any questions or comments about consent?
And why don't you explain it?
Yeah, let me explain it, guys. And that's my fault for the language there. These are items that I'm hoping to put on the consent agenda for the board meeting that comes on April 13th, if I'm not mistaken. Is that the right date?
April
Yes,
13th.
And so I wanted to talk about these. This was just a little bit of a Peggy and my miscommunication to Peggy of how I wanted to present this.
Okay.
It's just I wanted to discuss these items. Before we do that, did everybody meet Christian Vanuk? I just want to make sure you guys met him
Have
when you
not.
started.
Hello, guys.
Okay.
Work with
Hi.
Bill.
Great.
Nice, Christian.
Hi,
Vanuk.
Christian.
W.
Sorry?
Vanuk with a W.
Vanuk, yeah,
Yeah,
correct.
Vanuk. Okay.
Most people don't get that first try.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if it's okay, I'll buzz through these real quick, and then get on hoping, and we can discuss them. And then if you guys are okay, my hope is to get that on a consent agenda for the upcoming board meeting. The first was the actual engagement of a leasing agent to help us lease the space, in particular here at Collins. We have not done that in the past. Lore has it is that we didn't pay commissions, and that's why we never had real estate people find tenants for us. I don't know if that's the case or not. I can't find any prohibition against doing it, and so I'd like to advance for the full board's approval to engage. We already have a contract with Talcor for property management. I'd like to let them continue to try and lease the property as well. Unless there's some objection to that, I'd like to put that in front of the full board in April. Okay.
Is there anybody that part of this committee that with Kim, Dave, that has longstanding history with LCRDA that would know why we had that prohibition or why we weren't?
Could be urban legend. I don't
Yeah,
know.
we have paid commissions way back when. I don't know when we stopped or if we
Yeah.
stopped, but I know back when I first got on the board, we leased up some space and we paid commissions.
Yep.
Yeah, in my 10 years, I'm not aware of anything that would have limited us from doing it outside of just not doing it. Yeah.
And this is even, I get this also from the real estate leasing community, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
y'all don't pay commission. So I'm like, all right, well, I gotta
Yeah.
fix that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right,
Okay.
good.
The second thing is one of the things I'd like to make sure we cover at the board meeting will be to formally ask our board members to start seeking sponsorships and doing fundraising for the new lab. I think that's a big
Will
deal.
we have a benefit plan or
Bill?
model?
We'll have some of that,
Okay.
and we'll have a discussion about what entity does the fundraising, whether it's LCRDA or the nonprofit.
My only comments on that, Mr. Chair, would be that it would make sense for us to have a plan. So that we're all not kind of coming up with our own talking points on what the benefits might be. And I know we had talked previously, or at least I've pointed it out there, that there might be groups that might be willing to offer this kind of support and helping us to develop something, perhaps on an in-kind, just for the level, just to say that their involvement
Sure.
was there. I don't know if that's something that we would entertain. If that's the case, I don't mind
I'm open to
reaching out to
everything.
one of
Yeah,
our
absolutely. And
marketing or
Bill's going to kind of
communications
lead that
group.
charge.
Yeah.
And we, independent of what other entity it's raised,
Yeah.
we have to
Oh,
find
yeah.
funding, right?
No, I
You're
absolutely.
talking five, six, seven, $800,000 a year.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And
Okay.
it would just make sense that we go ahead and get something that's ready
Yeah,
to put out there.
we are in production with a collateral piece,
Okay.
and we have guesstimated funding levels based upon what we've seen. Michael and I traveled to UF, and they were very open with, okay, this law firm does 10 grand a year, and it's a multi-year commitment to sponsor the boardroom. So mm-hmm. we're getting some market-driven price points mm-hmm. for sponsorships as well.
Wouldn't it be the appropriate thing to have the fundraiser be the nonprofit because of tax reasons?
No, that's not necessarily. We are raising money now. We've raised almost $13 million from the EDA.
Well, excuse me, I'm talking about donations.
Donations to our organization can be tax deductible as well.
To LCRDA?
To LCRDA, yes. Okay. That's my understanding. We can validate
that. Yeah, a lot of for-profit corporations really want to give to a 501c3.
Correct.
That's the other reality. But we do get some here. As an authority, we also do get them to fund underwrite tech grants and other certain things we've done in the past. So it's not impossible.
Have okay. we gotten the closeout for our 501c3 designation?
We have gotten approval from the IRS in 2021.
For the lab, the NFIL. Yeah. Right.
Yes, IPTLH. That's right. And what will be required with any kind of structural changes will be affidavits from board members and filing with the Department of Agriculture.
I'm just thinking along going to the gifts piece or donations and sponsorships that we'd be able to do that. We have the 501c3 designation. Okay.
Again, I think my main objective for the board meeting is to set the expectation that that's mm-hmm. One of the roles we expect the board to play is to help with that process. And even maybe initially, I just want to make everybody start thinking about these are potential sponsors, not the details of the package. I think Bill will put something together that we can then go out with that. But we really need to formally kind of put everybody on notice. My word, that's part of the expectation here. The next thing is just we're going to modify the way we've done CAM in the park. Historically, we've done CAM at the end of the year. And we bill everybody one time after the closeout of the fiscal year. So we end up floating it 14, 15 months. We're going to go back to doing it quarterly. That was in the agreements and somehow it drifted away from that. So unless anybody has if there's a document that gets produced that says we can't, then somebody will bring it to us. Yeah. My expectation. I also am going to want the board to formally authorize me to pull down the EDA requests, FSU advances, liquidate investment accounts as needed so we can continue to fund the construction of the lab. We'll have to do those steps as needed. I don't plan to do them in advance, and I certainly am not going to plan to do those things around board meetings to keep the lab moving and pay our contractors. So that's one of the things I'm hoping for.
Are you going to produce any language around that other than the statement, or what were parameters or something?
Changing the bylaws?
Yeah, what were you going to?
Don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Again, I've already done some of it, frankly. I pulled $3.3 million from the EDA, and I've got another request in today for $3.3 million again. Got to pay our contractors, right? So I can't roll that through board meetings. I don't know what approvals or process have been in the past. I just know we need to get the project rolling.
Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Michael, if you will, just use this week as the example.
In terms of
the funding, payment request.
Oh yeah. So we made a request 10 days ago to the EDA to pull down funding about $3.7 million. You have to have paid the bills to request the funding. So we have now we funded yesterday the last $1 million we have in our construction account. We're down to $6,000, if I'm not mistaken. And we still owe Culpepper $660,000 for the February bill. Culpepper is well aware of that. I told them it'd be a couple weeks. They're absolutely fine with that. The request has gone in. I don't know how fast EDA will fund it. Last time, if you recall, the request went in on October 2nd or 3rd, and we didn't get the money until January 11th, if I'm not mistaken. So I expect it to go much faster this time. We had a number of steps along the way back from October that we were fixing things back and forth. Once he said we're good to go, we got the money within 2 days. So I'm hoping that will move quicker this time. I have already reached out to FSU about getting that $600,000 from them in the next 2 weeks if I cannot get it for the EDA. And we'll be completely current on the project at that point. So the only thing we haven't paid right now is the $600,000, which isn't due really until the end of March. But I paid it early just as a gesture to Culpepper that I'm not going to drag everything. I'm paying them like it. And I needed to fund it so that I could request the reimbursement.
Yeah, we can't.
Get sorry for the long answer.
If I may just add.
No, that was a perfect explanation. I think that what we need to be able to do, particular to this point, is we need to be able to arm Michael with the tools and the resources he needs in order to help us be efficient in the way we're pursuing the lab.
I think that's exactly, if I may, I think that's exactly right. And I think Dr. Moore brings up a valid point. We just need to make sure that the organizational language matches the intent of what Michael has to do in order not to stop the project.
Yeah, don't want to stop it, but don't want to end up with violations
exactly
while we're doing it. Yeah.
Clean up the language.
Yeah. I think is
what, real quick way to answer that question, I think, and I'm all for it, is to get Melissa just to look real quick. And because I remember at one time there were two of the executive committee members had to sign.
And that's what I'm saying. And I'm like, no, we didn't make it that easy. I mean,
keep in mind, we still have executive committee members sign off when the money goes to Culpeper. I'm talking to the pay the bill. I'm talking about to put the money in our account to pay the bill.
From EDA.
That's right. To get it from EDA, to get it from OEB, to get it from our own investment accounts, right? That process. I'm not talking about leaving our organization in any way. That's still got to go through two people approving that on the exec committee.
That's right.
So we probably have never had this circumstance come up if you think about it.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we do get it all documented correctly so we don't have any audit deficiencies.
That's
and give you the authority to move with it.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I'm still apologize. I'm ranking the movement of that project above an audit.
In all fairness. I understand, but still, we do it right.
Culpeper will not appreciate that I'm worried about the audit when they want to get.
I understand, but I don't.
Okay, I got it. I'll talk to Melissa. I have a conversation with her today. Again.
All right, perfect.
I'll get some language around that. But that's where I'm headed, is for the board to approve, so that the process of moving our own money that we've already agreed to borrow or have, so that we can put it in position to pay the bills.
All right. So my sense is that there's a high probability that the full board is going to want to understand that in greater detail. I don't know that that's going to land on consent.
Okay.
I mean, we can certainly put it on consent, but I would expect that somebody will want to pull that and talk about it.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Mr. Chair, I would concur. For something that departs from what we've been doing in our past, I would just take the time to explain it to them so that it's not a roadblock in the future.
Sure.
You know, it's almost go slow to go fast for the future. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's elevate that. It won't be a consent item. It'll sit on its own.
Okay.
Now, does the timing work for you on this one, though?
I have already requested the funding from EDA. This is the second time. So it may need a ratification ultimately. But yes, I've already.
Okay.
I'd bring them up to speed on the action that you've taken. I mean, because we all understand why you've taken.
And Ron did it too.
Yeah.
Ron did the first one.
Yeah.
So that's happened. That past practice existed.
Okay.
Okay.
And then financial summary and budget. I'm not sure if this is the right place for it. And I again apologize for my lack of history and protocol in terms of how you guys do the consent agendas. But that would be the treasury reports and those kinds of things. And maybe we do that as a formal presentation and the financials at the full board meeting.
I'm opposed to taking that just as part of the consent agenda.
That's why I listed them here as potential. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's the communication. Okay.
We've set too many years with sort of everything's okay to consent agenda. Don't worry about the numbers.
That's certainly not the direction we want to go.
All right, so we'll keep items D and E on the regular agenda. Is that the will of this executive committee?
Correct. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Do we need a motion to approve A through C being on consent, D and E standing on their own?
I'll move that if you need it.
Second.
All right. It's properly moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
I believe that's unanimous, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Item number 8, audited financial statements.
I think think you guys were just sent a draft last night, or maybe yesterday during the day. I apologize. The audit committee did review those and move for motion to advance those to the full board, subject to some minor MD&A changes, which we are waiting for the final turn on that. Again, this agenda was drafted several days ago, so I don't know that you're going to have a whole lot of comments on that, but we'll get that out to the full board before the board meeting.
Do we need to move that, or is it just a point of reference?
Just giving you an update on that.
In my mind, it's more of it's just moving in advance into the full agenda.
To have the same discussion.
So that we'll have time to look at it.
And I'll point out that the unmodified opinion is as good as you can get, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there is no other action item necessary on number 8.
Correct.
Item number 9, acknowledgement of the following. So, Bill and Heine.
Okay, I'll
you'll start. I'm going to jump in a couple places, but go ahead.
Okay, Bill. I'll start. We have two leases and a number of inquiries about the Idea Lab since the opening, which and we are just beginning the marketing outreach concurrent with the promotion of the tech grants. And we have tours scheduled. I think we've got two scheduled next week. And we're doing a tour for Dr. Charles Weatherford and the FAMU team this Friday afternoon. We're also going to look at the plasma lab next door. David Teak is particularly interested in the Idea Lab. They may have an appetite to take down some of that space as well. Let's see.
And it's mostly office-to-office leases?
Yes.
One office.
That's right. We've carved out a couple of the suites that set up.
I remember how.
Yes.
There's one little block we're trying to piece together. Other than that,
we're also doing it's essentially a promotional deal with Tally Robotics that will have access to the space after hours and a small interior office for storage.
That we can boot them out at any time.
It's the right thing to do. It's a great organization.
Good then,
yes.
Just in kind. And there's a big, an international robotics competition Saturday that it's at the Lawson Center that I'll be representing our group there. You want to cover?
I will cover Career Tours tenant, just so you got, they lease space over in the Morgan building. They've got their lease expires February of next year. They gave notice 2 weeks ago to Stephanie. It's $80,000 a year, which on $650,000 in rent is a real number, that they were going to have to vacate that. There's some funding elements, and he doesn't need the space. I went over there and talked to him Monday. What will it take to stay? He goes, well, I could figure out a way if I could stay and just use half the space. And so he wants to retain the interior offices, the two conference rooms, the break room, roughly about half the space. I told him I would be willing to prorate the rent at the exact same per foot charges he's paying. So instead of an $80,000 hit, it's a $40,000 hit. I'm papering that up hopefully soon. Again, apologize, guys. I don't know if I need approval for that either, but I'm just trying to retain the tenant.
Good for you.
Yeah. So wanted to get an update on that. Don't have the lease executed yet, but he's out of town the rest of this week. He'll be back. Stephanie is going to mark off the space so I get the square footage right, but I thought that was we end up with better offices, so I'm hoping we can make it work.
Yeah, an $80,000 hit is horrible, and a $40,000 hit is it's not great. That's a big win relative to what it could have been.
Michael, what's their expectation in terms of use of that space? What were they planning?
I think they're going to use those. They have people, everybody worked here. Remember, everybody's gone remote.
Yeah.
They have two other locations in this market, if you will.
Yeah.
And his funding got cut.
Yeah.
So
that's tied to unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Okay. Legislative request, just so you guys know, we did get a request in on the House side. Under TCC higher ed, which is awesome. 750 on the House side, $1.5 million on the Senate side is what has shown up. My hunch is they'll get tied together. I'm hopeful it'll make it through the process. Obviously, according to Batista, we're still a long way to go, but that's as good as we can be, position we can be in right now. And Senator Simon on the Senate side, and I think it was under Shope on the House side. But anyway, good news for us for the moment.
Does it show up in the governor's budget? It isn't the
well, no, it's in the ones that the House and the Senate budget.
Just House and Senate.
That they got to reconcile, and then it's got to get in front of DeSantis.
But it was not in DeSantis's original budget.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Yeah, okay.
Just showed up this week. Yeah. And as I mentioned already, we did submit a funding request for $3.3 million. Bill can give you a quick update on the NFIL.
Yeah. I'll add to the EDA. We also submitted our first build to scale reimbursement. We took down essentially money for computer and related to
that's already been paid.
Posting this first director of entrepreneurship position. So we figured part of the mystery of this is going through the circuitous processes. So one EDA grant is different entirely than the second EDA.
Processes are completely independent of each other, even though they're all EDA.
That's right.
So that one we got paid in days.
Yeah.
The small one.
It's the construction.
That's that's the little one.
Yeah, that's right. By compare, yeah. A quick summary on the lab. It is rocking along. They're on schedule. There are a couple of potential change orders. We don't know what the impact of those will be. It could be a six-figure combination of change orders. So we'll keep this body in the loop on that.
Refresh me how much we had in the construction budget for change orders.
About $1 million.
Well, we're listed it's under our contingency, of course, right?
That's
I think
right.
It's around 900,000 in change.
So that would eat up a whole bunch of it then, if it's a six-figure number.
I mean, $20-something million project, right?
Yeah.
But they're you know, construction joints in an IPAS system or expansion joints. There's some lighting issues. There's some water issues and labeling and stuff that, you know, they're figuring out with the city. But we don't have the specifics of that. But yesterday we had a construction meeting, and the magnitude of it could be 100,000 for so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, every penny we can avoid there. Real budget money for us, a real financial hit for us.
We emphasize no change orders as frequently as you can. And I think one of them has to do with an inspector that's never seen something like this.
With a DINI water.
Yeah.
But anyway, there'll probably be more, guys. It's a $20 million construction project.
I'm surprised we have more already.
And it's unique building. This is not a cookie cutter building.
Yeah. Right.
So
that's right.
Okay. And again, I just to reiterate, funding and cash flow, evidenced by the earlier conversation about the EDA, continue to be a real challenge for us. That challenge will get exacerbated. And I just want to continue to remind the exec committee and the full board that the implications of not getting sponsorships, not getting the state funding of the FF&E, not all those things, not getting the lab leased up, not getting the lab built on budget as close as we can, they have dramatic consequences in terms of our financial position when we talk 12 to 24 months from now, frankly.
Yeah.
I'm working on kind of a best case, base case financial picture of what that would look like under either case. And even under the best case is the best that I'm coming up with today. We're talking still 36 months before we're really out of, and that's best case with getting all sorts of windfalls, frankly.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll add to that, we talk about FF&E. We really have three needs. FF&E is one of them. We need to fund human resource because we don't have satisfactory funding to staff the lab, and we need operational funding in addition to FF&E, utilities, gas, all of the expenses related to operating this unique facility. So there, obviously FF&E has been a primary focus, but we need funding in each of those areas. So anyway,
not janitorial and other?
Everything.
Yep.
Air filters.
Utility bill is going to be $25,000 to $30,000 a month.
Well,
gas for that generator, required expense, inspections, hoods, et cetera.
Massive deal for us. Massive obligation is what we've signed up for here. Mm-hmm. And we've got to find ways to fund it.
What kind of interest are we getting now from potential tenants?
We are getting interest, probably two a week at least. And this is, and Michael and I had this conversation briefly. My opinion is the wet labs would be gone like that because, the dry labs and the other facility will take more time. But we had two meetings last week, and I involved Christian in one of them. One of them would be sort of one that we would anticipate a startup. Their company's called CellWorks. They need some help. They need some incubation. The majority of them have been international companies. We need lab space. Give me a quote on a square foot basis.
Are there any that are interested in entering to some form of agreement that, okay, contingent upon the one it being available and ready then, but they're ready to at least ink their interest? In a more formal way?
I have no idea. Bill spoke to them.
Yeah, it is basically tell us when it's going to be available, and which we've been able to do, or, you know, we need to move into a lab now. That's basically.
And refresh me, how many wet labs do we have?
Roughly half of the inventory of 31 labs or wet labs. 15. So basically all upstairs. Yeah.
The only reason I ask that, because, you know, just from a marketing perspective, you start landing one, you leverage that one to say, I've already got this
room. It's going fast.
Yeah, it's going fast. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So you get that, and that it's an inked entrance. It's more than, you know, hey, I got my contact information. But that, what I don't know what kind of agreement that is called, but
it's just a letter of intent. I commit more than anything else. Yeah. Because it can't be binding. We got to make sure we deliver.
Well, it's hugely variable based upon what's in the lab. And right now, there's an eyewash. Hood and some cabinetry, but nothing else. So what most people are looking at is a BS2 lab, which is a biosafety 2 lab. And it's pretty simple requirements, but it requires a biosafety cabinet, a minus 80 freezer, and some accoutrements in the lab, locking doors, stuff like that. So those
guys could retrofit it for no money. Make those additions. A tenant could.
They could do that. And the price of the lab is highly variable, whether we have that stuff or we don't have it. So I've been quoting preliminarily the high, basically market rates, which is about $60 a foot. I said, you know, we'll let you know when we have a reservation form available. And we're guesstimating the wet labs will be about $60 a foot.
And how many feet roughly are the labs?
Well, they're one's 280 and the other's double the size.
I'm just questioning why wouldn't we advance the letters of intent to use that as leverage in our marketing?
I don't think it adds any value to us. Because we would be full today if the wet labs were open.
Thinking sponsors and benefit that, because you have the ability to say, well, we have these 12 letters of intent that who plan to be here. That might make it attractive.
There'd be no downside.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I think the challenge Bill's having is what's he selling? We don't know about FF&E. We don't know what equipment, all those cabinetry and things he mentioned. A lot of these folks are assuming that's going to be in the building.
Right.
Yes. We haven't ordered those yet because we don't have the money to buy them. So what am I promising? Is that potential broken promise? What's the consequence of that versus the upside of saying we've got these kind of soft letter of intent? I don't know the answer.
Should we be drawing on FSU credits to get that stuff installed? FSU line of credit?
Well, we need that to build the building right now.
I thought there was even above what
potentially
we did the building.
There potentially is $1 million.
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, we got
the lead times on that. The architects are working right now on the lead times, and we think it's going to be June and July when we have to make that decision to order that and put deposits down on those things.
That's 60 days from now.
It is.
Yeah, but that might be the time to get some sort of letter of intent.
When we start placing orders. We'll also have visibility on our legislative.
Yeah. So let me jump in real quick. Kim, your point is incredibly well made. There's also the reality of some of the financial decisions that sit in front of the board. And I think that we need to, as has just been described, I think we need to move far enough through the process over the next couple months to make sure that we know how those labs are going to be outfitted with lab equipment and with furniture and fixtures and so forth, just so that we know that when the construction is completed, we will be opening X number of labs with this equipment available. And that way there is not the opportunity for that broken promise. Once we know what we're delivering, I think then we need to turn around and immediately go back to what Kim was suggesting and then start to land the LOIs. That then can be used as that additional information in marketing what we're doing as we're reaching out to find additional sponsors.
Yeah, I'll add to that. We are written into, I'm very involved in the grant writing process, and we do have a number of upcoming grants, some of which would consider funding equipment. We won't know whether the governor vetoes a potential $750,000 funding request just for the furniture until July 1st. And so right now we can make no commitments about anything that will be in the lab, which is, it's both the hard truth and not really overstating it, which is why we're giving guesstimates on the square footage rates.
The other thing to keep in mind, I'll go back to our earlier conversation, I have to pay the contractor before I can get reimbursement. So I need, we're going to be, and we're out of our OEV, FSU research grant, and our reserve, what we funded this thing with. So I need that $3 million line of credit, $4 million line of credit, most likely, to pay the contractor to get reimbursed from EDA to replenish that we can ultimately use, if anything left over, for the FF&E.
Well, and then there's the 10% at the end that we'll have to carry anyway. Yeah. So again, we need buckets. We need the construction. We need the people money right now. We have zero applicants for our Director of Technology and Entrepreneurship based upon the funding amount, because the price has gone up for talent, especially in this area. And then we need operational funding. So included on the talent side is the infrastructure to do fundraising. Because right now it's who you see on this side of the table that are tasked with many other things at the same time. So in most successful fundraising organizations have that as a core componentry for what they do, whether it's on the academic side, the for-profit accelerators, or the nonprofit accelerators.
So just to, I'm sorry, was that Dave? Did you want to go ahead?
Saying crunch time.
So I just want to say that after hearing all this downside kind of thing, on the budget side, we are trying to control as much expenditure as possible. So we are doing really well. We are on target, mm-hmm. and really not only on target, but less than what we anticipated to spend. There are some major expenditures that are coming that will eat up our potential reserves, like the elevator and one of our
ACs
has needed some replacement.
The original unit mortgage building, $50,000.
It's just a little bit a challenge, but we are trying to control our expenditure. That's the part that we can really
try to
do today. Yep. And the revenue side, we are trying to move this Idea Lab. We rebranded it as Idea Lab because we want to create a new energy. Instead of saying, oh, this old building, we say, no, this is an Idea Lab. So we created a little bit energy, and we see a little bit movement, which is a good thing. And the marketing is picking up. So that's a good thing. So, and as we said, we have the ADA request that they pushed back because we didn't pay 100% of what we requested. Yes. So that's where we are. And I think, yeah, that's what I want to say.
And the other
Heine, on behalf of our board, we're very grateful and thankful for your leadership in this. Living within our means is incredibly important. Controlling the expenses and
is there any opportunity for us to sell a property on Eisenhower Street?
I didn't have that on my agenda today. Best I can tell, I did dig through. Peggy pulled out an old file for me. I think before we were to consider that, we need to probably have a phase two done, because the language around what that place had been and been used for, and you know, there were no representations that it was fit for a particular purpose. And it was kind of a trade the way we ended up with that. We owned something over there, the city, there was a swap to give us a piece on the street, squared off some of their parcels. We don't know what is there. And I think the phase two, and we could try to market that acreage subject to somebody else doing the phase two. But I mean, that's certainly a consideration.
Has a phase one been done?
No, but it was a borrow pit. There was dirt moved in and out for months and flew. I mean,
okay.
Stuff was used and then it was leveled. And why did the city give it to us? I don't know the answer.
And my understanding is that Ron went to the county to try to get clarification, and the county wouldn't issue them.
They're not going to commit.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
what would we estimate the value of that property to be, just roughly?
I couldn't even hazard a guess.
Yeah, it all depends on usage.
It's how many acres? I guess 17?
18 acres, I believe.
18.
And it's on Eisenhower Road.
Yeah, that's got great proximity. Yeah.
I mean, it's good for what it was used for. Real good for what it was used for. Yeah. Isn't there a rail spur real close there?
I think there is.
The rail spur is down closer to the old Rose printing.
It doesn't touch that property then?
No.
Okay, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I know about what it is, but
yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions? I don't know anything else we wanted to cover on our side that I didn't have on this little list of acknowledge to make sure we share with the exec committee.
I'll just add one other thing. We've spoken with EEA about build to scale and said, hey, look, we may not be able to hire these people that we need for this function. Are you okay with us changing this to more of a vendor or a contractor to do this, some of this training, or another unique position? I think Dr. Moore, you and I have talked about it, is we're going to need lab techs as an ecosystem and as a state, and getting folks to repair a hood or a piece of equipment is really hard. We're at the mercy of the folks that want to moonlight doing that that kind of work. So the EEA is open to the conversation as long as our mission doesn't change. They have indicated flexibility. So we may come back to this body and say, hey, look, we are going to change the EDA grant. The bottom line is going to change, but instead of W-2 people, we're going to have to do contract resources. So just wanted to give you the heads up that may come back to you.
Just a general question. Wet labs are going to require a lot of chemicals. How do we allocate chemicals out to this group or that group or that group? Who stores all those chemicals and so on? Do they buy them from us? Are they just open to come get some, or how's that work?
We don't provide any of that resource. So it's all the responsibility of the member, and including the storage and the disposition of them. Some facilities, and it's not something that we'll rush into, utilize their status either by buying in volume or to essentially provide that as a surface to members, but it's typically not a profitable business. It's more of a convenience. There will be, assuming we get funding for shared equipment, there are typically consumables involved with providing that as a service to members. And a lot of the models, like University of Florida, they need a run on a mass spec. They would request that of the staff and then pay an hourly fee on the mass spec. So we won't be providing a tremendous amount of of consumables to our members. That'll be their responsibility, unless and until it makes sense for us to do as a service offering.
I think the expectation is that we'll do that by contract at least. They're not going to be allowed to store stuff that's not stored correctly. They'll have to dispose of it. That'll be the way to try and manage that as anticipated today.
Yes, and that's how we operate in our what lab I call here. Our warm-up lab.
And will your office eventually be over there?
I think some of the staff will be there. And I think if there's an appetite for offices, some of the staff may stay here. If somebody wants to take an office and that's the highest and best use, you know, it's a short walk over, we can meet there. I think the director will have an office there, and I think the lab manager will have an office there. But whether we've got marketing and admin and some other things is to be determined. We have a floor plan that includes the staff, but as we've just been noodling things, you know, there's an idea of migration between these two buildings anyway. So if we get more over there than here, then we'll move staff around.
Thank you.
One other just observation. You know, as we are a body that's subject to sunshine, and we're only able to have these types of conversations periodically, I want to point out that particularly as it relates to the funding issues that we've just described and that we're going to be talking about here again in item 10, there's probably not a work day that goes by that Michael and I haven't been on the phone or meeting face to face for 30 minutes, an hour, a couple hours. He and I are engaged in these conversations every day during the work week and sometimes on the weekends, trying to figure out the path where all of these things connect so that we're able to position North Florida Innovation Labs for success. I know that's the desire of our board, and it's certainly the desire of this executive committee. The amount of coordination it takes is substantial. The authority model does restrict us from being able to have frequent and deliberate interactions among board members. And so I encourage everybody, make sure that thoughts that you want to bring forward. There's not another way. Now, please note, I'm not asking Michael to be an intermediary sharing those thoughts. I'm just saying that Michael has to be the point of contact for collecting thoughts so that we're taking the wisdom of our group and advancing it forward. We are at a point where over the next 2 to 4 months, we will have to make substantial decisions that 100% support the future success of Innovation Labs. And so understanding where we are as LCRDA and where the labs are relative to their construction process and ultimately opening and being furnished and being operated, those are substantial issues. And this board has to be ready to stand in the gap to make sure that we achieve success. So that's it. I just want everybody to know that there's not a day that goes by that Michael and I aren't talking about this.
Mr. Chairman, do we need to temporarily expand the frequency of board meetings to monthly instead of bimonthly for a period of 6 months or 9 months or something?
I think that that's probably a very healthy idea. That's certainly something that we probably need to talk about at this upcoming board meeting.
I just want to make sure we don't let the process of 60 days between meetings slow down very important decisions.
I agree with that. I mean, it's that process that we move at the speed of public meetings, and that's a very difficult place to be when this board is right now inextricably linked to the operations of the LCRDA and the future success of the park of the labs.
Say is the time commitment of getting ready for one of these board meetings.
Yeah, I was thinking the same
is
thing.
A whole lot of work.
Yeah,
and I would tell you that 30 doesn't buy me much more than 60.
Yeah,
given what we've got to deal with on a daily basis.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, again, the concept is absolutely sound. I'd say if you could have a board meeting every day for 30 minutes, that might be helpful. Then, and that's driven structurally, not because, as you guys have witnessed, I don't want to wait for anything. But because of the structure requirements, that would be the only mechanics that you would really get the benefit going from 60 to 30, in my opinion. And if there's something so urgent, we'd schedule one immediately and have to deal with that.
Next question then would be, do we need the board to give more latitude to the executive committee to move things forward in an expeditious manner?
Yeah, I was going to respectfully suggest that when Ron resigned, the executive committee scheduled regular meetings, and if they didn't need to meet, Peggy could cancel them. So
yeah, that was a pretty good way of doing it, actually. And that doesn't burden y'all with so much prep work and notification work.
As long as the exec committee has the authority to act, right? I think there's two parts.
That's what I'm asking.
Right. There's two parts. There's one to have that meeting set up. The other one was the authority to take some action if needed or approve something or whatever, right?
We could request that at the next board meeting and limit it to decisions on the lab. I mean, there's, because that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, I could live with that.
Yeah,
I don't like extra meetings, but I think it's necessary. I just I don't want to tie your hands, Michael or Bill, either one, if you're sitting around waiting for decisions. I know you don't like that.
Good news is I'm not.
The great thing about our exec, I don't think he's gonna sit around. We're just gonna have to catch up with us. I'm trying to avoid a catch up. So that would be
That's the even piece. Better said.
Yeah, you know.
But I want to make sure
it works. Right. If we add additional meetings, conceivably we can do them without substantial agendas. I mean, it can be an opportunity to get together for a status conversation.
Yeah, correct? The agenda could be North Bar. The agenda could be lab discussion, right?
Yeah.
Lab update and discussion. Yeah. I mean, to simplify it.
And I think to the extent that we need to put placeholders out there for additional meetings, and we do that with very limited agenda or broad agenda, that at least gives us the opportunity for people to engage.
But Kevin, I think we need to get the board to give us that authority on the workings of the lab. I mean,
the executive committee to take action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's an agenda item for the next board meeting if y'all all agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they're public meetings. So
yes.
All board members are invited and welcome to attend.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Good.
Okay. If it,
all right.
Let somebody make sure that the records reflect that it was mine, even though it wasn't.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
The record will reflect. All right. Are we ready for item 10?
Yes.
Michael,
yep, we had a IPTLH board meeting last week. One of the, if you guys recall, the original structure that had been set up, I guess 2 years ago, maybe three, was that the lab would be set up under a not-for-profit, the IPTLH, and the reason was it could get sponsorships, it would be able to apply for certain grants as a 501c3, it might be a more advantageous structure to have as a lab independent. Also, frankly, in my opinion, it has a name different than LCERDA, which may help with if there's any state funding to get. Bill raised some concerns at the IPTLH board meeting last week that he thought that was not the best approach to structure to have for that entity going forward. And he raised those, and we talked about it at the IPTLH. It ultimately becomes an LCERDA decision if whether or not we were to change the path we're on. And so we have to discuss it here and then ultimately at a board meeting to go a different direction. I will let Bill share, hopefully in a briefer window than we did at the last meeting.
The key distinction is whether the asset is owned or leased. And I will say the business of acceleration is really a simple business in terms we're not selling 1,000 different things and the pricing is changing in real time. Whether it is a model like ours, a model like University of Florida's, or a model like Domi's. Or on the private side, on the private accelerators that take equity. So the number one priority is fundraising. You're either raising funds to distribute as an equity if you're for profit, or you're just if you're a nonprofit or university owned asset, you're raising funds for that. So number one is fundraising, and that's the number one need of the nonprofit. Operating is not required. So we can operate under LCERDA. And in fact, all the employees funded are LCERDA employees. So the things that all accelerators do, fundraising, marketing and marketing communication, including fundraising, events, programs, and training of entrepreneurs. The other thing that we do is we collect and report data. Now, if we were a private equity firm incubating companies, we'd do the same thing. But we're required to collect and report data and pay bills to our funding partners. The key distinction is the owned and operated facility versus the leased. So Domi leases a building from the county. We own the building. And it's, in fact, our greatest asset and exceeds the sum total of all the rest of the assets that we have at Innovation Park. It's our greatest asset. It's also our greatest risk. So the concise version is I don't think we need to tie ourselves in a knot by leasing to ourselves and creating operating agreements to ourselves that don't create value. The essential function is fundraising. So if that board's sole function is to raise money for the lab, it will have achieved its goal because it's not a requirement that we operate, that we lease and give the operation to the lab. We're funding it all. In order to stay into this construct, which may not make sense, we also anticipated creating an employee leasing document in which LCERDA would lease to the nonprofit the employees. And oh, by the way, the nonprofit has no money. So LCERDA will be funding this, will be accruing these costs and invoicing it back maybe to LCERDA at some point in the future. So when I thought this through, when I arrived, I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Just like Domi, here we go, you'll fill out these things. And now I'm looking at a document, the lease. If I were on the board, I would recommend not signing the lease because you're leasing to an entity we know in advance has no ability to pay for the lease. Now, on the IPTLH board, I would advocate not signing the lease because we're fiduciary, we don't have we don't have a D&O insurance, we don't have E&O insurance, and our board knows we don't have any money to fulfill the lease. So as a requirement, we have to have this complex memorandum of understanding that says, oh, by the way, LCERDA is going to pay for everything. So that's a quicker version than I did before. And I'm like, look, we don't need all we need to do is raise money. That's all this entity needs to do.
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So
you weren't in the last meeting, so.
I know, but my question will be, what is the business model? So where is the funding coming to support the lab, and where is the funding coming to support LCRDA? Because from what I'm hearing is LCRDA is going to support, pick up the bills for North Florida Innovation Lab, which should have been supporting itself. That's the model.
No, it's not.
Again, I don't think we need to get into those weeds today, guys. I think the broader question, and I think Bill raises some interesting points as he and I discussed in person, as we discussed at the IPPLH board meeting, I fundamentally disagree and do not find them compelling in any way. My objective was, I didn't do a lot of homework. I don't have 3 years head start on the structure, but I believe the structure we are proposing protects the lab to control its own destiny. I don't know exactly what the ultimate outcome of a bunch of things out here are going to be in the park, but I think it's important that the lab can control its own destiny. The first 10 years of the lease, the RDA will pick up as drafted, and it's a draft. Keep in mind, we're working on that as we speak, would be that the LCRDA is covering all the expenses to the extent it can. Let's be honest, the LCRDA has its own funding challenges. And the expectation is that the lab isn't going to make money. And just as a reminder, even fully leased, the lab is short hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars annually, fully leased. So the operation of the lab is going to consume a lot of cash. And the success of that will be relying on grants and sponsorships for its entire existence. I think the other thing, the other reality as configured would be is that the board of Innovation Park, or LCRDA rather, controls the lab. So if it ever made sense at some point to break up that structure, we control both parties. So we've in fact retained 100% optionality, but we've given the lab the potential to control its own destiny for the life of the ground lease that we have out here, no matter what happens in our future. And I think from the mission perspective of the lab and this enterprise and economic development and research and development, it's important to make sure that the lab doesn't get wrapped up in anything else. Again, you guys may not find that compelling, but that's my perspective. And that's similar to the conversation we had last week, if I'm not mistaken.
I see no downside to that model. And I understand your thinking on the duplication of some efforts, but I think they get done once and just get moved.
Yeah, the duplication is going to exist, whether it's a foundation, whether it's a not-for-profit for fundraising, the reporting, the audit, all of that lift of administrative stuff is going to exist.
Right.
We'll have a little more in back and forth between the two, which is an accounting entry in many ways for the first 10 years, because the money's only flowing one way. Mm-hmm. It's just a record keeping.
And I think it also gives and I hate to be so direct, it gives the ability for us to segregate the lab easily if we can't afford to keep it.
Under certain circumstances.
Under certain circumstances.
Yeah.
If
I may, it is unclear to me whether we can subcontract the performance of the EDA grant to another entity, which we will have done by virtue of the lease and the operating of the facility under that lease. So I don't know if that's allowed by the EDA. I just don't know.
I want to be really clear what he just said, everybody. He said he doesn't. I'm not going to be moved by I don't know. So that would be a question worth answering, Bill, if you want to work on it. I'm not sure that we can or can't do something. I think that's a riskier position to take.
Well, in addition, the board of the 501c3 to whom this is leased, that is or is not a board that is subject to Sunshine.
It is not.
It's currently.
Currently is because of the membership, but it's currently contemplated that it will not be because it will only have one member of our board and then three members appointed by our board, but they're not going to be board members. So they won't have be subject to Sunshine. They can meet, they can move and advance the lab's interests at a much different pace.
We have to set this facility up for success. Okay, we all have the greatest intention as it relates to LCRDA and to the North Florida Innovation Labs. The public meeting process slows us down. Mm-hmm. It is clunky. And I understand why we do it, and I'm not faulting the reason why, but the application creates challenges for us. We need to separate this lab. We need to put people on the board who have a high profile in research and economic development. We need to give them the tools that they need in order to provide policy support. And I hear what you're saying about the fundraising capacities and otherwise, Bill, that the board provides for North Florida Innovation Lab. But we need to separate this so that it has the ability to be successful. And I think if we keep it under LCRDA, we're hamstringing it in a way that is not in its best interest.
And keep in mind, we have a ground lease with Danfoss for 100 or for 50 years at $1 a year. That is not that far off from writing them checks to underwrite their operation, in my opinion, which is effectively what we're doing with the lab, is underwriting their operation, right? I mean, and they operate. They're not subject to Sunshine. They operate at whatever pace they want to protect their interest and move their organization forward.
Yeah, I'm agnostic in terms of the structure, and we just need to move on because one of these two entities has to raise a ton of money in a short amount of time. And so we do.
I think that's the topic.
Yes.
Not the structure.
Yeah. I agree.
And so are we then content with leaving it as it is? Is that the question?
That's the board's and the committee's
that motion.
And that's the momentum of the path we're on to do something different. I don't even know if to do something different, we would have a motion to change direction, I think, because the path that decision was made a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, to go down the path we're moving on.
Right, so now we don't need a motion, we just need to leave it alone. Is that what I'm hearing?
Unless it's a reaffirmation. Again, I forgive me that the process. The formalization of that is not my specialty.
Renewing our vows.
Well, and I would suggest that the minutes reflect that we had the conversation that we agreed that the path that we are on and have been on for the last couple of years is the path that we believe that we need to stay on, and we continue to move forward.
I will add, if I may, this board will need to approve a lease. And the IPTLH board yep. will need to approve a lease. I would respectfully suggest that the IPTLH board does not execute the lease until they have a directors and officers insurance policy. And the other issue is we require all tenants to provide liability insurance. And so they're really... there's a lot of nuance that will be required in advance of executing a lease by LCRDA, co-signing the lease by IPTLH, and affirming the financial commitment for 10 years through this memorandum of understanding between these two corporate entities that we both control.
I don't think you could get directors to sign up without DNO.
That's correct.
Right. We haven't looked for it yet. But you can get it.
Yeah.
You just got to get it. I think Bill's pointed out we don't have it yet. We don't have a lot of things. We have the building. So it's obviously one of the things that has to be done.
Yeah.
And these are prerequisites to going out and raising money. Just bottom line. Other than the grants, we are currently applying for LCRDA.
Ooh, heavy stuff.
I live in the world of need to do and nice to do. and minimal viable process. And so the other concern that I have is we're tying up a staff that is already with an unnecessary accounting exercise at this point in time. We'd always change it later. And so with that, again, whatever the desire, I'm in either way. Just need to know what the direction is, because we're way behind time to kind of have worked this out.
Okay. Next item we had here, and it was the appointments. One of the things we have to do is have the board, we're going to hopefully ask the board at the subsequent board meeting to start identifying candidates to serve. We need two things. We need one is going to be a board member representative, and then you'll need external folks to be served on the board.
You were going to make an inquiry of one of our board members.
I'm not sure that's going to move forward. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. For a variety of reasons, but I don't think that party was interested.
Okay. It could be a conflict too, if I'm guessing.
Right.
I mean, we thought the lobbyist connection might be the right person on that board.
And Kevin, you want me to run through these?
Yes, please.
And then the other thing, and we haven't distributed them, but we are going to just give everybody a heads up. As Bill mentioned, there's a number of documents in draft format that we will distribute and share with the exec, with IPTLA and our full board as they get ready. But they will include the ground lease, membership agreements to the extent anybody wants to read them, which are not going to be too terribly dissimilar from what we use today in our current building here. A guarantee from the tenant, non-disclosure, just in case we need it, because we're subject to sunshine presently, because that might spook some folks. We have drafted our own non-disclosure that we can use, because trade secrets and proprietary information from any potential tenant are protected already, even with sunshine. And but we have to use our document that says this is the process they would have to follow so that we could not disclose their information. We'll need a side letter and we'll need sponsorship agreements. I think Kim alluded to earlier. We got to have the terms of that, what the benefit is. So a lot of this has not been created yet. And I think I could add to that based on what Bill said. Of course, we still need insurance policies. We'll need insurance policy for the lab, which is not frankly in the budget. And that's going to be to the tune of at least $100,000 a year for the insurance on the building. So, I mean, this plane is being built while it's being flown, right? So
it will get clarification whether we can subcontract that from the EDA.
The next thing I have in there, just to give everybody a heads up, we have a tenant, the Park Service in the Johnson Building, that if you guys don't know, they have 9 million artifacts stored over there, all the Native American artifacts in the Southeast United States. They would like to expand their space. They have 4,000 of what they call the artifact room. I may be calling that the wrong thing, but I think it's the artifact room. They would like to go to 12,000.
Oh, wow.
Which means that they don't pay for TI. Mm. We would have to front the renovation of the entire downstairs, virtually almost of the Morgan Building. Then they would lease some space upstairs, and then they would pay that back over a 15-year GSA contract. That is the request. I sent them some floor plans. I'm just putting it out in front of me in case you hear about it, or if there's a legislative request you get wind of. I don't know how we'd fund the reno. You could probably bond it, maybe. I don't know enough about that, but that is a request that's out there. They haven't been approved for the funding. She's putting a proposal together to her senior leadership team to see if she can get that. Apparently, it's much easier for them to get space for artifacts than it is for offices.
No, just a quick question is there. Is the TI amortized at cost over 15 years, or does it have a...
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but we assume it's going to be north of at least $1 million.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it's the air conditioning units alone. Because remember, you got to keep the humidity down at, I don't know, 50, 60%.
Oh, no, I think it's less than that.
maybe it's less, yeah. So anyway, for the long-term...
Backup power supply.
For sure. Yeah. Because this is apparently an undersized archive space vault. If you will, wanted to make sure. Anyway, just want to make sure everybody's aware of that request.
That's a good thing if we can figure it out.
Right. We've already talked about the FF&E and NFIL and the impact on cash. I don't need to belabor that unless anybody has any further questions. And then the last thing I was going to mention is the OEB request. Again, you guys run across Ben or Keith. 3 years ago, when Dan Foss was going to build their building, we agreed to lease some RDA property, leased property, as well as a parcel of owned property that the RDA had paid $700,000 for, $675,000 for 20 years ago. And we threw all that in the mix for $1 a year for 50 years to Dan Foss. And in exchange for that, we were going to get $800,000 back, which is more or less what we paid for that dirt 20 years ago from OEB, and there were terms attached to that. The terms included, one, we didn't get the first third of it until they broke ground, the second third until they got a CO, and the third third until a year later. That was when the project was an $88,000 project, an 88,000 square foot project. It has now become a 160,000 square foot project, so it's doubled in size, which delayed the start date by over a year, which means we didn't get our first third until just last fall. I am trying to get the second and third now because we've fulfilled and honored all of our obligations. The dollar, they haven't not fulfilled theirs. The terms and the dates are clear. It's just that the project got better for our community. It got better for the park.
Yeah.
And we're now delayed. And we started spending the money, by the way, because that money, that $800,000, was going to be used for Collins renovation, Morgan renovation, the elevators. And so we made commitments as well. And so I'm leaning on those guys to kind of help us advance accelerating the money that our third payment was supposed to be March 31st of 2023.
Are you getting pushback from them?
I think they have a process and it's formal requests. And I was told I've got to meet with the county and commissioners to change or amend the agreement. I don't know if it's a cash flow issue on their end. I don't know I'm reluctant to go and push that at the county level until I know at least I have OEB support. And I think, so Keith was out here. He toured the lab the other day. He's toured all the spaces. I am trying to advance that. So again, I only say this in the vein that in case somebody catches one of you guys or a board member, this is where that's coming from and the need for that fund. I mean, it's $500,000 that we could desperately use.
Would we not, Mr. Chair and others, not want to put a board letter together asking for this consideration and pointing out what Michael's already shared? You know, we have operated in good faith. It did double unbeknownst to us. You know, we were saying 88,000, now it's this. We need our dollars.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean,
I sent a letter, took the liberty of drafting the request, sent it to the.
I think it needs to be elevated to the board that we're bringing this to Ben and to Keith.
And I'm trying to have Ben and Keith be the champions of it.
Well, we want champions too, but I mean, it may not be as much of a priority. They can get around you one time, but if it's the board that's saying, hey, you know, we all have an awareness that this is on our radar as an organization. We need our dollars.
I would like to add to that. We also need new funding from the EDA because as we look around the state and other communities, their municipalities are very involved in funding economic engines like the one that we're building. Mm-hmm. And so we're gathering data. We're actually, it was funny and not funny the way things are. One of the FBIA members reached out. They wanted to know what kind of funding we were receiving from our municipalities to support our economic development efforts specific to the lab. So it was an easy response to provide to them. And we need, doing the things that we do and the different hats that we wear, we need to communicate to our city, county, and other leaders that if you invest, we can expect the same kind of impacts and outputs that these other places are doing. If you don't invest, we can't expect the same level of output.
It has to be an expectation. I would imagine that both of those, where we're closing out one, but pointing to the planning and the investment that they need to in that same letter, that we're very much ready for that conversation.
I think that's a great idea. Great idea, Doctor.
I wonder if it'd be to our advantage to have a board member or staff member one invite each commissioner over one at a time just to walk through and see what we're doing, to bring them up to date on what this is and to explain to them what it could mean to the community. I think they have a general idea of what we're doing, but I don't think they have a deep understanding and appreciation.
I would agree. And in fact, Commissioner Miner traveled over to Sid Martin Labs, and I think his eyes were wide open about what could happen. in our community associated.
There's no downside to that recommendation.
Yeah, yes, okay. Absolutely.
And even in a letter, I mean, we could say that we're sending and we're doing an individual invitation to each of the BIA, the board members, so they know here's our 1-2-3 plan. Then we have, at the same time, the invitations going out that we're serious about this. But Mr. Chair and others, what are y'all thinking about, you know, a letter coming that addresses those 3 points, our current money that is owed, our future for planning, and then, hey, by the way, we believe in this engagement that we've reached out to and are reaching out to the commissioners to offer individual invitations to make sure that they're aware of what it is and why this is an important investment.
I fully support. I think that's a great idea. Is it your suggestion that there's a letter that goes to the entire commission, or does this are there individual invitations?
It goes to Ben with CC to Keith, and then with awareness to the county commissioners and city commissioners, because what we put in the letter is that we've leveraged in the fact of the success that came from Danfoss. Hey, you know, celebrate, haha. Yes, this was great. But at the same time, that we owe it to our community's future success, that they come out, they visit, and they see the plan as we continue to build it out with their help.
I think it's a great idea. I like it.
I think with permission, we could include information from what Sid Martin did, or what the, if it's relevant.
Yeah. Good idea.
Well, I think light enough that people will read it. I mean, we don't want to give them a dissertation. Just did that, right? For my own.
We can start with the letter I wrote to Keith about asking for our advance. I could share that letter with anybody, you guys, and we can think about how to structure that.
Can we do some more? Yeah, if you'll share it out with mine, I'll.
I will.
Give some
thought. Yeah, and okay. Part of that is we need to make sure that the action that we take is complementary and doesn't frustrate the effort that has already been established through Keith. And because I appreciate the dynamic, and we need to make sure that we're pulling one rope in one direction.
They haven't not complied with the letter. They have honored it as drafted for sure. I mean, we are asking for an amendment, and it's not their fault that the project doubled in size. Right. It's our community's benefit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was all I had.
Anything else on under the discussion topics? Hearing nothing. Any number 11, new business?
No, I want to make this extremely brief because I'm hungry. if we have, and it's anecdotal now, a lot of interest in these wet labs, and we have a opportunity to get, what did you say, 18 of them, Lise? How many total are there? 15, 16?
Yeah.
Should we be thinking about converting more of our lab space to wet labs while we can and at a cheap price, or is that a really huge expense? And I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
I assume it'll be a big
expense. Right question, though.
No, I agree it's the right question, and we can get that spec pretty quickly because it's everybody wants a biosafety 2 lab. Nobody wants anything more complicated that has issues that we've heard about elsewhere, but that's the sweet spot. So,
and second question is, are we thinking about charging enough? I mean, if we got a huge amount of interest, and I mean, I've been in real estate a long time. Interest and signing a deal are
it can be worlds apart. And
huge cavern between those two things.
It's like, how do you get them closer to?
Yeah, commitment.
Commitment. Yeah.
But I would love for somebody just to look at that and tell us at the board meeting whether it's a dumb idea or a smart idea or no idea.
It goes back to some of the stuff we cut out of the building. We would need the additional fan system and a second boiler that don't exist and are not paid for currently. That's probably the heaviest part of that, because then to install new sinks and vents.
Could you just kind of give us a thumb cost next?
It's probably $750,000 and infrastructure to the building, to the building that we cut out, a second boiler and a second fan system, because this fan system is only satisfactory to handle the labs we currently have.
I got you. Okay.
And then the rest of it is, you know, sink, eyewash, biostate protection. Yeah.
Sheetrock is up, man.
Yeah.
Wet lab takes up all the second floor.
Yeah.
Well,
we'd be a portion of the first floor.
That's right. It would be the flex labs downstairs. So there is a number for that, and that's something that we should package and intend to package to sponsors. Here's the fee to sponsor the wet lab, and maybe like other organizations, athletics, etc.
If it's year one, we don't need to even think about it right now.
Well, it is the up. If it then allows us to lease up half the building, but it is sort of a chicken and egg.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
That's a lot of our contingency funds for the
building. $750 you could just get started. I don't believe that's the number.
No, that's the second
one. That's the infrastructure. You haven't sheetrock on walls.
I recall my request.
No, I think as we look down the road, we anticipated that these flex labs would either be tenant improved, or we figure out what the appetite was from the marketplace, since this is a new build, and then we would iterate at that point. So it's a good idea. The timing may be a little premature at this point.
Well, and operationally, we know that the lab is projected to run at a deficit. If we increased the number of wet labs, would we be increasing the size of the deficit? In other words, do wet labs run at a bigger net loss than dry labs? That's something that you're going to have to work through on the P&L side.
Yeah, and and I think I mentioned this earlier, there are some funding sources out there that may help us with that, because the EDA too wants to invest in this area because it helps humanity and, you know, it is economic development where there's an acute focus. The other data point that we both saw is that nationally, we're nearly out of lab space, and in Florida, we're almost completely out of lab space. So, it is worth a conversation, and some of it will be driven by, let's hopefully opportunistic kinds of funding that we're chasing at all levels.
Just a quick, easy question: do we have Danfoss compressors on the building?
I think we researched, and I don't know that there was an OEM. We involved Danfoss. We involved the contracting team. I don't think there was an OEM Danfoss product that fit that. One quick, if you haven't seen this, this is a special edition.
Well done.
Tallahassee. And so as you have your own social channels, anything that you can do to share out any kind of good news about us specifically and the market generally, I think helps us all.
Is that the one with inside cover focusing on us?
Yes.
Sure, everybody who hasn't seen it.
And we've gotten a cup. No, that's the
that's the other one?
That's the other one, yeah.
Okay.
And we get extra copies if you want a hard copy as well. I think we got two inquiries from that so far.
Good. Any other comment? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Good meeting.